In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. My name is Carrington Harrison. Happy to be here with you. Patrick Mahomes, quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, will be on the show coming up in 15 minutes. If you want to hear from the QB, keep it locked in right here on 96.5 The Fan. Before we get to him, I wrote down a handful of things that I learned, some notes from week one, and I would like to share them with you. Let's start with number one. These two teams are going to be looking for new quarterbacks in the offseason. I don't need to see any more. Bryce Young is a bust. I liked Bryce Young coming out of Alabama. I really did. Now, it will never make sense to me how we saw a team move up to the number one overall pick and they chose the 5'10 guy over the 6'4 guy. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And it is going to go down as one of the big draft mistakes of the last 25 years. But we have seen enough at this point. Bryce Young is bad. There's not anything I think that Bryce Young does at a high level. I watched enough of that game yesterday. Inaccurate. Not incredibly mobile. Bad. Carolina is going to be starting the process over again for finding a new quarterback. They got it as wrong as you could possibly be at the quarterback position. I don't need to see any more from Bryce Young. We saw all of last season. This didn't look any different than last year. He's bad. The Giants are also going to be looking for a new quarterback. Did you know that since signing that brand new shiny extension, Daniel Jones has thrown more pick sixes than he has thrown touchdown passes? Yes, you heard me correctly. Daniel Jones, since signing his brand new extension, he has thrown more touchdowns for the Ops than he has thrown for the Giants. It is a mind-blowing statistic that does not make sense. It is difficult to comprehend, but I promise you, it is true. It should be a message to all of these teams in the NFL. You don't have to pay your quarterback because you feel like you should. Every single person listening could have told the Giants what was going to happen with Daniel Jones. I saw it. You saw it. Rob, you saw it. Everybody saw that Daniel Jones is bad, that he stinks. But somehow the Giants, because they have this fear of, oh, well, we don't want to be without a quarterback. What can we do? We just can't let him hit the open market. Yes, you can let him hit the open market. And let him be somebody else's problem. The most telling thing about the Giants this offseason was during the Hard Knocks. I don't know how many of you watched it, but they did an offseason Hard Knocks. And in this offseason Hard Knocks, they show the Giants having a conversation about if they want to keep Saquon Barkley. And their general manager said, we didn't give Daniel Jones $40 million to hand it to a $12 million a year running back. It told me everything I need to know about the Giants, their general manager, and how they think. They're bad. Also, not surprising that Daniel Jones was really bad this week and Saquon Barkley scored 3 touchdowns. His team won. Saquon Barkley's the second best running back in the National Football League, in my opinion, behind Chris McCaffrey. He's really good. They're not good. So two teams we know off the bat. Don't need to see anything else. They're looking for new quarterbacks. I don't got to see week two, week three, week four. I've seen enough. Bryce Young, bad. Daniel Jones, we've known for a while he's bad. Confirmed it. The Colts might have something, man. Did you guys see that throw? You know the throw I'm talking about. I mean, down the middle of the field, travels 50 yards in the air. I mean, on an absolute rope to Alec Pierce. Anthony Richardson, I don't know if it's going to all come together, but man, if you wanted a why he was selected in the top five, even with very limited sample, we haven't seen a whole lot of Anthony Richardson. He only started 1 year at Florida. He was hurt for most of his first year. We haven't seen a whole lot of him. He's played five games in the NFL. He scored a rushing touchdown in every game that he has played so far. And they gave the Texans all they could handle. Now, they lost, and, you know, in the NFL, that's only how you evaluate these things. Did you win or lose the game? I came away super impressed with Anthony Richardson, and if you're a Colts fan, you should feel excited. We think we have the answer at the quarterback position. We got to continue to develop him. We got to keep him healthy, keep him upright, keep weapons around him. But I came away really encouraged in week one by what I saw from Anthony Richardson. This was the first time I ever had this revelation. Maybe some of you are laughing at me, but this is the first time I had this revelation. I believe that Patrick Mahomes is the best player in the National Football League. I'm not telling you something you don't know. I now know who the second best player in the league is. It's TJ Watt. Did you see TJ Watt against Atlanta? Rob, did you see this? TJ Watt won them the game single-handedly. Their offense, bad. I can't believe we were ever debating about Justin Fields. He's terrible. They also can't run the ball either. That's not a good football team. They won that game because TJ Watt was he was unblockable. He did everything. I'm getting picks. I'm forcing fumbles. I'm in the backfield. I'm creating disruption. If Patrick Mahomes is the best player in the league, TJ Watt's the second best player in the league. I mean, my goodness, he was amazing yesterday. Just absolutely amazing in week one. TJ Watt. Maybe you knew this already. I didn't know he was the second best player in the league. I thought he actually was the third best defensive player in the league. I'd have put him behind Micah Parsons. I also would have put him behind Myles Garrett. Not right now. He's number one on my list. He's number one on the defensive power rankings for me. I've got more, Rob. I would like for you to chime in. These are just some early week one observations that I'm having.
Let's talk about the Steelers for 1 minute here. I was quick to say the Steelers were gone and the Steelers had nothing because they don't have a quarterback. But is Mike Tomlin going to get that team in the playoffs again? I know it's week one, and the whole point of week one is to overreact, but Justin Fields didn't score a touchdown, but it didn't matter because Atlanta, everyone's flavor of the month, and what some people are calling the best quarterback room in the NFL, just got humiliated. And I know it's week one, but let's look at those AFC North standings. The Steelers are 1-0. Everyone else is 0-1. The Steelers looked good. Everyone else looked meh to bad. Like, is Mike Tomlin going to will another Steelers team into the playoffs? Because it seems like that's all he does is take Steelers teams, make them above 500, put them in the playoffs.
Probably. I don't know if that's the answer you want to hear.
I think you're right.
The answer is probably, yes, that Steelers team will probably cobble together enough wins where they will end up making the postseason. That is how they operate. Let me ask you this question because it is in line with what we have been talking about. Who do you think the best quarterback in the NFC South is? Because I think most people's answer is, oh, it's Kirk Cousins. I don't know if that's the case. I think we all have done this offseason. I think we all have completely discredited Baker Mayfield and discredited Tampa Bay, the team that won that division last year, a team that won a playoff game last year, and a team that seems to be well-coached, very disciplined, and everybody knows their role on the team. You know what? Baker has turned out to be a pretty productive NFL quarterback. Those first 2 years for Baker Mayfield were very, very chaotic. But you know what? We have got a chance to see a quarterback and a person grow and mature in real time. Those first couple of years, he had rabbit ears. He was listening and responding to everybody. Who cares what Colin Cowherd has to say? Who cares what Carrington Harrison thinks about your performance? Go out there and ball out. And players have always seemed to respond to Baker Mayfield and believe in Baker Mayfield. You don't hear too many players with negative things to say about him. He just goes on about his business. And that Tampa Bay team, after 1 week, I consider them to be the favorite in the division. Atlanta's got to show me they're worthy of it. Because for a team that keeps having all these picks and Kyle Pitts and Bijan Robinson and Drake London, that was the same offense we've seen from the Atlanta Falcons for the last 3 years.
How bad do Cleveland fans have to feel today? Not only did they make that trade where they shipped Baker off for nothing, hemorrhaged all that draft capital, all that money for Deshaun, but Baker looks like he might be the best quarterback in the NFC South. he might have single-handedly said, listen, this is the Bucs division yesterday, because he looked really good in their win, and Deshaun Watson is trash. Do you think Browns fans are kicking themselves right now? Or not themselves. Do you think the Browns front office is saying, what did we do wrong, when you see Baker performing the way Baker is?
The thing is, though, I don't think that Baker was worthy of being the number one overall pick. I don't think he was worthy of it. You know what Baker is? Baker would have been really good if he was the 35th overall pick. If he was the top pick in the second round, if he was picked where Will Levis was picked, we wouldn't have this conversation about Baker. Now, I get it. You can't go back in time. He was the Heisman Trophy winner. Cleveland thought they had their savior. They put all this pressure and expectation on him, and he didn't live up to the player. But now that you've removed a lot of those things from Baker, he's ended up being a really good kind of tier three quarterback for that team. He's just solid. I don't think he's one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league. I think he has a clear limitation. But you know what? Baker Mayfield gives you a chance to go out there every single week and win. Every single week and win. And there's a value to that in the National Football League. He deserves a lot of credit for that. He deserves a lot of credit for what he's been able to do. My last week one thought is the Cowboys are going to be fine. We kind of overreacted this offseason about the Cowboys. And, oh, what about this? That's a team that's won 36 games in the last three regular seasons. That's a team that's really, really good. That's a team that's really, really good. And I think we forgot that, and they're the Cowboys, and what about this? And that's a team that has a good quarterback, a good coach. They got one of the better receivers in the league. They know who they are. They're a top defense. There was no reason to overreact about the Dallas Cowboys. Now it's Cleveland, and it is Deshaun Watson, and he's bad. Dallas is going to be a team that makes the postseason. They're going to compete for the division. They got a chance to go to the Super Bowl. We just overreact because it's the Cowboys. That's still a really good football team. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, will be on the show. Keep it right here. You're listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Welcome back into The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Rob is here producing this thing as well. We will get back to the Kansas City Royals, who right now, according to FanGraphs, have a 95% chance of making the postseason. But every Monday at around 3:15, we get an opportunity to catch up with the current Super Bowl MVP, in my opinion, the best player in the league. Patrick Mahomes joins us every Monday at around 3:15. Our conversation this week started with, well, we know what Patrick was doing yesterday. He was at the U.S. Open in New York, and we asked him how it was.
It was awesome, man. The environment was amazing. It was obviously center is just dominant, so he went out there and he played really well. But it was cool to see some of the greatest going up against each other and have an American in the final. It was a great experience.
I do have to ask you a toss-up. What's more fun to be at? Was it yesterday's U.S. Open final or Game 3 of the NBA Finals?
You know me, man. I'm a basketball fan. But I will say the U.S. Open final was sweet. You know, I went to Wimbledon, too, and to get to go to both of those in the same year, man, I've become more and more a fan of tennis and how those guys and girls go out there and dominate and the conditioning that they play in. But at the end of the day, I'm more of a basketball guy.
You played a lot of sports growing up. Was tennis a sport you ever played?
It was not a sport that I played a ton. My mom worked at a country club, and so she would kind of send me and tell me, she'd bring me to work and be like, hey, you got to go figure out what to do, basically. And so I would go out there and hit it around a little bit. I told Trav, if me and him go up against him, though, I would dominate him if we play tennis.
Right now, we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. Patrick, there's been so much that has happened since the last time you and I got a chance to catch up with each other. I haven't got a chance to talk to you since the first current game. You went to the game on Saturday, busy weekend for you. What is it like to see our city really embrace the current in this beautiful brand new stadium?
No, I mean, it's been amazing. I mean, first off, I mean, the Currents had a great season so far, and hopefully we can carry this momentum into the postseason. But to see the fans and how much they enjoy coming to games and enjoying that beautiful stadium and the play that's on the field, it's been really cool, and I try to get over there as much as possible. But the city of Kansas City is just alive right now with the current, the Royals and the Chiefs rolling, and Sporting's making a run here too at the same time. So exciting times in Kansas City.
How cool is it that so many of your teammates are also coming out to support as well?
No, it's extremely cool, and the guys are asking me about it, man. I mean, they want to be there. They want to be a part of it. And it shows that, I mean, we're going to show support to each other. I mean, all these sports teams, all the city of Kansas City, we want to win together. And I think you can see that by the way we support each other at different sporting events.
You've been at the forefront of all of this, you and your family. What is it like to take your daughter to this? You know, like you get to take your wife, you get to take your daughter to the first stadium in the world that is made specifically for women's sports. That has to be a very proud family moment.
Oh, 100%. And it's cool to see Sterling. I mean, she's in soccer, like, classes and stuff now, and her getting to go to games and stadium that was built just for women. I mean, it's something that it'll help her aspire to achieve those dreams herself and whatever she wants that she's dreaming of. And so I'm excited for her to grow up and have such great venues and stuff that she can go out there and see some of the best play in Kansas City.
I do want to talk to you about the game from Thursday, but everybody is talking about it. What do you make of the new kickoff rules?
I mean, I think we're still filling it out. I mean, obviously, you saw some big plays happen during the weekend, and I think it's going to be exciting. And I think coaches are trying to figure out what's the best, way to go about it, where to kick the ball. Do you kick it short? Do you kick it kind of right at the goal line? I mean, you have to. There's so many different ways. I think it just makes them more active and an exciting play that you add to the game. And, I mean, we got one of the best special teams coaches in the league and of all time. So to have him have another opportunity to make his imprint on the game, I'm excited for the future of it.
I'm always open for innovation. You know, in the Super Bowl last year, there were no kickoff returns. So the fact that this at least promotes some movement, I don't know if we're ever going to go to the kickoff, you know, when you and I were growing up with Devin Hester and some of the great kick returners. But I'm for anything that just spices the game up a little bit.
100%, and you want to make it – I mean, it's three phases of football. I mean, people love the offense, and, I mean, obviously defense goes out there and makes plays. But at the end of the day, like you said, I mean, when we grew up, special teams were a huge part of the game, and obviously the field goals and punting still there, but you want to add that kick return back into the game. I mean, it's such an exciting play, and so I'm excited for it. I mean, I think it's an advantage for us. I mean, we got guys that can return the ball, and we do a great job covering. So I'm excited for, as the season goes on, us to find out – what we want to do in order to go out there and use it to our advantage.
Right now, we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, here for a couple more minutes. You mentioned explosiveness. You certainly saw that on hand with Xavier Worthy. You've been around a lot of fast players. You've seen a lot of fast players. His speed even caught me off guard on that end-around where he scored his first touchdown.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, he just – it's like when he wants to go, he can go, and it's a speed that he does a really good job of using it to his advantage. I mean, obviously, you can be fast and just run fast the whole time, but it seems like he kind of waits to the right moments to use that speed, and you just try to get the football in his hands, man, and let him make plays, and I thought he did a great job, and as he gets more and more comfortable in the offense, he'll be more and more involved. But we got a lot of explosion around across the entire football field. And that was great to see this last week, and we're going to try to build on top of that.
One thing that I don't think you get enough credit for is you're really good at making sure guys get their game ball when they have their first touchdown. Why is that so important to you?
Yeah, I mean, it's just because it's such an important moment. I mean, whenever you grow up, man, you want to get in the end zone and score that touchdown. And so a lot of times when you do score the touchdown, the guys are excited, they're celebrating, and kind of – you got kind of go crazy. And so I want to make sure those guys have that moment. And just like guys have helped me in the past, and like I got the football from the passing Lynn Dawson's record, that's stuff that you forever will remember, and you want to have those footballs. And so I try to make sure to grab those for the guys. And in the excitement of the moment, they'll be able to have that memory.
You're so good at getting game balls for other people. How many game balls do you have? What game ball means the most to you?
I have a ton of them, but I think the ones that mean the most is I kept every football from the games of the first Super Bowl run, and so I have the divisional round comeback, the AFC championship comeback, and then the Super Bowl, the first Super Bowl that we won. I have the game ball from all three of those, And so I think those are the ones that are probably mean the most to me because it was the first run. It was such a magical run. And it kind of really started what we've kind of done so far.
Right now we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, for a couple more minutes here. I'm sure you've seen the picture on social media. It's like Lynn Dawson and he has his arm around you and you guys are on the field. How special is it that you got a chance to meet him before he passed and you passed his record and you guys are always going to be intertwined as all-time great Kansas City Chiefs quarterbacks?
I mean, yeah, it's extremely special. I mean, just the few times I got to talk to him and the advice that he gave me, man, about how to just be myself and go out there and play the football, the game that I love, just like the game that it is, and enjoy it. I mean, he was a special guy. I mean, obviously, he's a pioneer of the quarterback position. I mean, the way he was able to put up these records that it took me eight years to get past, man, and he was playing in an era where throwing the football was almost like you shouldn't do it. So, I mean, he's just a pioneer of the quarterback position. He gave me some great advice, and I'm very appreciative of being able to pass this record because knowing the type of guy that he is.
Your name comes up anytime a quarterback gets paid. We saw Dak Prescott get a four-year, $240 million. Somebody always inevitably asks you about your contract. You've been pretty steadfast that you're happy with your deal. How cool is it to see that, you know, every contract you feel like the numbers are just getting bigger and bigger at your position?
I mean, that's what you want. You want to keep pushing the game forward. And I think it's awesome for the quarterback position, but just in the NFL in general is that guys keep getting paid more and more money. It's letting guys live out their dreams and get paid to take care of their families for a long, long time. And then it gives the next guy an opportunity to go out there and search for that as well. And so it's all about pushing the game forward. The NFL is bringing in a lot of money. And I want guys all around the league that are playing to be able to take care of their families for a long time because they're going out there and playing the right way.
Last thing here, I think Cincinnati is you guys' rival. Obviously, you have rivalries in your division. Buffalo's been tough. Baltimore's been tough. I define rivalries in pro sports by two teams that are fighting for the same thing that just seem to have an equal dislike for each other. You guys don't like them. They don't like you. It's fun. It's football. What is it like to go against this team so early in the season and have two really important AFC games off the jump?
Yeah, I mean, we knew about it all offseason, man. We're going to play two of the best teams in the league in the first 2 weeks. And so we have to have that right focus to come out through training camp and come out ready to play. And we were able to go out there and beat a good Ravens team. And now we're playing a really good Cincinnati team. And obviously they didn't have the first week that they wanted to. So they're going to even be more hungry to go out there and try to get a win. So it's going to take our best football. And we know that. And so we're going to go out there and prepare ourselves this week. To go out there and play our best football on Sunday.
That is our conversation with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, here on The Drive. Patrick, man, happy to have you back this season, and good luck this Sunday against Cincinnati.
Yeah, appreciate you, man.
Every Monday at around 3:15, we're going to be joined by the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. Happy to catch up with him for another season. That was our conversation with Patrick Mahomes. Rob, let's get back to the conversation about Cincinnati. We just had so many opportunities to see that they were in trouble heading into the year. Think about the last 10 days for Cincinnati. Is Ja'Marr Chase going to play? Is he going to practice? He's doing press conferences, but he's not going to play. He then was sick. T. Higgins is not fully healthy for this team. There was just a lot of noise circulating around the Cincinnati Bengals that I understand why they were the biggest favorite on the board. People don't have a high opinion on the New England Patriots. They're one of the worst teams in the league. But all of the problems for Cincinnati have been right in our face for the last couple of days. And I think a lot of people, and I will put myself in this conversation, just simply didn't want to see it. And now you put yourself in a position where I know it's week two, so you don't want to call it a must-win game, but it's obviously a very important game for Cincinnati. And once again, they find themselves behind the eight ball at the beginning of the season. Let's say that they lose on Sunday, which they are the underdogs to lose. I think they are going to lose on Sunday. They will be 1-9 in their last two, either week one or week two games. Now, they made the Super Bowl one of those years. They made the AFC Championship game the other year. So we've seen their ability to overcome it. But man, it feels like a Groundhog's Day effect with that team. something goes wrong in the offseason. They're either recovering from Joe Burrow's injury or somebody's unhappy about the money. They then have a very disjointed August. They then get off to a super slow start. I see a team that it doesn't matter what they do, they still can't protect their quarterback. They spent all this money on Orlando Brown, all of this money on all these other pieces, and they have the same problems. You just look at the rest of the AFC. Man, it's evolved. Houston is different. Indianapolis is different. Look at your look at the Bills. They're different. Miami is different. Only one team in the AFC just feels the same, like they're just caught in this kind of hamster wheel of just going round and round. It's the Cincinnati Bengals. You guys know I like Cincinnati. I think they eventually get things figured out the way that they normally do. But, man, this is the difference in hosting the AFC Championship game and going on the road for the AFC Championship game. And there is no team in the NFL that makes their own path harder than Cincinnati does every year by having so much problems in the offseason, and that inevitably carries over to their first 3-4 weeks of the season.
I think if you're a Cincinnati fan, so I'm talking right now to Drew and Drew alone, you got to ask, what is Zach Taylor doing wrong in August? I think I saw this stat. In his 5 years as the coach of the Bengals, he is now 1-10 in weeks 1 and 2. This is not a 2024 problem. This is a consistent issue. And we talked about it at the start of this when the schedule came out. The Chiefs' two biggest AFC tests are in week 1 and 2. And if you're the Bengals and every year you're coming out of the gate 0-2, or in a dream scenario, you're 1-1. You put yourself behind the eight ball from the absolute jump. What is it that Zach Taylor is doing wrong? I would have told you, hey, maybe it's the preseason, but other, you know, Sean McVay disciples do the same thing in the preseason. They're not this bad in week 1 and week 2. Maybe it's bad luck, but 1-10 in week 1 and week 2 is a trend. Like, if you are a Bengals fan or someone in that building, you have to ask yourself, what are we doing wrong? Because every single start to the season, they're bad. Not just, sluggish. Bad. And they put themselves in bad scenarios.
Yeah, no, every single year they do this to themselves. And you have nobody to blame but yourself. Again, noisy August. Disjointed August creates a disjointed September, and that is exactly what we have right now with the Cincinnati Bengals. And now you go on the road to Kansas City in a spot where you need to play well and need to win. That's the worst spot that you can be in the National Football League. You expected to go at least 1-1 in this stretch. One of those games was against the Patriots. You got to figure out a way to win a home game against a team that many of us think is going to pick in the top five in the NFL draft. Now, I have been waiting to have this conversation. We had my week one overreactions about other people's team. Let's talk about the week one overreaction to the team right here in our own backyard, Kansas City Chiefs. Now, this is an uncomfortable conversation for me to have because I love this individual. I think that this individual should have his jersey retired at his alma mater. He is one of my favorite Chiefs of all time. We got to have a conversation about Nick Bolton, man. They're not paying him. I know. That's disappointing to me, too. They're not paying Nick Bolton, man. Nick Bolton was bad on Thursday. He was bad. There's no other way to put it. I can't say it any differently than that. He was not good. He is not their best linebacker today. Leo Chenal is their best linebacker right now. He was everywhere on Thursday. Nick Bolton was everywhere too, usually just one or two steps behind. I don't know if it's the injury. I don't know if it's playing hesitant. I don't know what it is. That Nick Bolton that we saw play on Thursday, that is not the same Nick Bolton that played for the Chiefs a couple of years ago. And you were going into a contract year where this is about going to go get the bag at a position in which very few linebackers are getting the bag. You are not a pass rush, get after the quarterback. You're a coverage run stop. That is not what you did on Thursday for the Kansas City Chiefs. He was not good. Now, Derek Johnson was on Fesco earlier today. Here's what he had to say about Nick Bolton. He is far more qualified to speak on this than I am. Here's Derek Johnson.
We're not far off. You know, it's never as bad as you think it is. It's never as good as you think it is. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those things you have to figure out how to shut a tight end or a certain play down. And there were times where Nick's eyes were bad or his technique wasn't quite on par. And they would take advantage of it at times. But trust me, I got plenty of confidence in Nick Bolton. Trust me. You talk about I call him ATM, automatic tackling machine. But I tell you what, Drew Tranquil, our defense is going to be really solid again this year. So I can't wait for just throughout the season, just the ups and downs of everything. And trust me, Nick is good.
So Nick Bolton was banged up last year. He only had 60 combined tackles, 22 assists. It was a down year for him. 2022 was a monster season. 180 tackles, 72 assists, had a couple of sacks. I think you could argue that he was one of the best players in the league at his position. It is go get it time for Nick Bolton. That's what it is. It is very simple. The bag is out there. This is your last year. Either you go get the bag from the Chiefs or you go get the bag from somebody else. But that bag, you got to play better than you played on Thursday. There are not many holes I think you can poke on the Chiefs defense for how they played. I thought they played exceptionally well. I thought they did a really good job against Derrick Henry. I thought they did a good job in stopping the pass. Jalen Watson, we talked about him last week as your number two corner. There were a lot of bright spots and a lot of positives on that defense. If you want a week one overreaction from me about the Chiefs, it was about Nick Bolton. I thought he was a weak link on their defense, and we went from Nick Bolton being one of those foundation pieces that you had to keep on your defense to him not being the best linebacker on the team, and that happened in a very short period of time.
Derek Johnson knows more about linebacker than I ever will, but when he says his eyes betrayed him and he was in the wrong position at times and his technique betrayed him, that's alarming to me, not only for this season, but long-term, because this is not some rookie. Like, if we had said, 2-3 years ago when Nick Bolton's rookie, his eyes betrayed him a little bit and his technique wasn't great and, he struggled at times. You'd be like, hey, you would tell me exactly, woosah, it's week one. But Nick Bolton's the green dot. Nick Bolton's the leader of this defense. Nick Bolton and Steve Spagnuolo have been, what's that meme where it's, Rocky and Apollo Creed and they do the handshake? They've been that way since Nick Bolton showed up. Steve Spagnuolo has talked about him being one of the smartest linebackers on the team, and he's making, I don't want to say rookie mistakes, but problematic mistakes. You could argue one of the reasons why Isaiah Likely was so good is because Nick Bolton flat out could not cover him at all.
Not at all.
Like, what do you always say? He was cooked food out there. So I always thought the Chiefs were never going to re-sign him long-term. I think this offseason showed you that. He was one of the guys going into a contract year, and there was no smoke, no talk, no buzz, no nothing around Nick Bolton. So I think Nick Bolton needs to clean up this season. I think he can clean up this season, but unless he takes like a Drew Tranquil type of contract, I think any talk of him being a Chief in 2025 is pretty much gone, especially considering Leo Chenal, who's cheaper and under contract, looked light years better than him on Thursday. Light years better.
And if that's the conversation that we're having, then I do think it's an overreaction. Like right now on the text on CDOT, don't overreact just yet. Let's give Bolton another week or two to get his legs from under him. To me, this is about what is your expectation and what do you think he is? If you're telling me that you think he's Drew Tranquil, that they're going to bring him back on a 3-year, $19 million deal, then sure, he's fine. If that's the conversation that now that's where we think Nick Bolton is, that we think he is in the 3-year, $19 million, fine. If you think that, because I would say based on what I've seen in the one week overreaction and based on how last year was and he was banged up, is he closer to being that? It's three things. Is he close to being at the top of the market? Because the top of the market is Roquan Smith, 5-4, $100 million. I'm not giving Nick Bolton $100 million. It's Fred Warner making $19 million. It's Tremaine Edmonds making $18 million a year, 4-for-72. Chiefs fans, are you giving Nick Bolton 4-for-72 right now? That's the high end of the market. I would then say there's that middle tier of the market. That's where Drew Tranquil is. 3 years, $19 million, a good contract for a good player. And then there's that one-year prove-it deal. That's what Willie Gay signed. Willie Gay signed a one-year deal for $3 million. Which one do you think he's closer to? Because I don't think he's close to that ceiling. I'm not giving it to him. If I'm Brett Veach, I'm not giving you 4 years, $72 million. We think we can get this production from elsewhere. Is he a guy that signs one of those mid deals, or is he a guy that at the end of this season goes to play for the Tennessee Titans on a one-year prove-it deal and balls out and then tries to hit free agency. Some of it is you've been banged up. You haven't played a lot of football of late. Let's see you get back into the swing of things. But there were not a lot of negatives on their defense. Nick Bolton was a negative for their defense in week one against the Baltimore Ravens. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk about two big week one things. We'll talk about Tom Brady as he made his debut. Also, the kickoff rule. It worked in week one. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
I just saw during the commercial break that James Earl Jones passed away at the age of 93 years old. Rest in peace to James Earl Jones. He has been some of the most iconic characters in movie history. He's Mufasa. He's the voice of Darth Vader. He's in Field of Dreams. One of the most important actors of any generation. So rest in peace to James Earl Jones. Passed away at the age of 93, man. Sad to hear that about James Earl Jones, man. Rest well, King.
Darth Vader might be the most iconic villain in, like, cinematic history. So
I don't think that's a – it could be. I think he's number one on the list. Yeah, for sure.
James Earl Jones, man. That – so many movies he's great in. Just so, so many.
Yeah, sad news. So rest in peace to James Earl Jones, who passed away. Do you have, like, a deep cut James Earl Jones movie? He's also he's just really important, man. Really important.
I can't think of a deep cut right now. And there's Star Wars, there's Lion King, those are the obvious ones. Field of Dreams, he's sensational. I mean, Coming to America, that counts as a deep cut.
That absolutely counts. My son works. Yeah. He has one of those, like, iconic voices, kind of like a lot like Morgan Freeman's voice, you know? You just want him to, like, voice and narrate everything. Yeah, man, really sad that James Earl Jones passed away, 93 years old. So certainly thoughts and prayers, condolences to his family passing away of a legend. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Mitch Holtis. Our 4 o'clock hour is very, very busy. At 4 o'clock, Mitch Holtis is going to join us on the show. At 4:15, Tony Gonzalez is going to be on the show. So keep it right here. You're listening to The Drive on 96.5. All right, a couple of things here as we get back to football. Number one, the kickoff worked this weekend. Now, it is still quirky, and I still have my fixes and my complaints with it. But if your intended purpose was to create more action and movement and excitement, they succeeded in week one. Teams use it. Now, there's going to be touchbacks. You are not going to 100% eliminate touchbacks. I think we saw it was like 33%, so it was up from where it was last season. We'll take that. It was a 10% jump from last season to this year. We also saw a kick return in the first week of the season. Who knows what we'll get today? I think if you're Roger Goodell, if you're the league and you guys voted on this change, I think you have to be happy about it. Now, we saw some different implications of the rule. I was watching a game. I can't remember off the top of my head. The ball bounced outside the landing zone. So you see it go to the 40. We saw a touchdown. I'm starting to understand the rules a little bit and how it works. It's certainly going to take some time. It's new for me. It's new for you. I imagine it's new for a lot of the players as well. But week one, I think you have to be happy with the way that the kickoff rule worked, how it was implemented, the response to it, and how it had an effect on the action in the first week of the NFL season. The other thought that I have and related to kind of changes is Fox number one crew. So last year, Greg Olsen had the job. They have now replaced Greg Olsen with Tom Brady. Couple of things. Is Tom Brady too famous to do that job? I know it sounds crazy, but we all consider you to be the absolute greatest of all time. Number one on the list, the most accomplished. Anything less than the standard that you've created in football is going to be deemed as a disappointment. What Tom is doing is very different than what Peyton Manning is doing. Peyton Manning he's there with his brother. They're having fun. They're calling the games and they're bringing on guests. It's a little bit more personable than what we're asking Tom Brady to do here. So is Tom going to let us see his personality? Is Tom going to teach us anything? I also, and this might be like a really weird critique, I don't know if he has the voice to do that job. Like, Greg Olsen just sounds really good on the broadcast. Aikman sounds really good on the broadcast. Chris Collinsworth has that sound. Maybe it's just I'm so used to hearing Brady in one capacity that's going to take me time to hear his voice in this capacity. But I don't know. He don't sound the way I want my announcers to sound as well. I also think, and this is coming from somebody who really liked Greg Olsen, Greg Olsen, I think, created like a standard because he was so good last year that not only does Brady have to live up to like his own expectations and what we think Tom Brady should sound like on the broadcast, he also has to be better than somebody who was really, really good at this last year. Now, I know it sounds crazy. That job's kind of hard to do. And you usually can tell pretty early on if somebody has it or if they don't have it. We didn't need to see too many more years of Jason Witten to know. Nah, man, this don't work for you. And I am surprised. I guess we tried this experiment before. Man, you kind of got to do this at a lower level and kind of work your way up. Now, I get it. You're Tom Brady. I don't think you're calling Big Ten games in New Jersey. But man, for a guy with limited broadcasting experience, we're just going to put you on the marquee game of the week and just, hey, go at it because you're Tom Brady. It was certainly a mixed review. I'm not going to overly judge it. It's your first week doing it. We'll see as he gets more comfortable. He works with the team. But Brady himself creates such a high standard because of who he is. And also, you're trying to replace a broadcasting team that I thought was really strong last year. I really like Burkhart. I really liked Greg Olsen. I think they were a great team. I think they had great chemistry. I was expecting to see that relationship materialize and really bloom and blossom over the course of the next years. And then I get it. You got a chance to have Tom Brady work for your network. You're going to take that opportunity every single time. We'll see what happens with him.
I think Scott Hanson at this point, I was watching Red Zone, and there was a big play in the Browns and Cowboys game. And Tom Brady seemed kind of monotone, like, oh, yeah, that's a nice – like he seemed – he didn't have the excitement that matched the moment. And I know it's a very small thing. I think when it comes to like the X's and O's, he was fine. Like, he did a lot what Romo did. Watch out. Here comes Myles Garrett. Oh, look, the telestrator here. You can tell it's zone. Like, he was good at the diagnosing the football, but he never seemed to meet the moment. Like, Greg Olsen got excited when big plays happened. Tom Brady was like, yes, great play. It was a little robotic. I think he can clean it up and get better, but he has to show a personality. Like, people may hate Romo, but Romo is an authentic, like, he's a goober, but he's authentic about it. Brady seemed like just guarded and robotic, and that's why it didn't work.
Yeah, I think that Romo's actually gotten worse as he's progressed over time. I think
the stuff that made what Brady was good at, the studying the football, is what Romo's gotten worse at, though.
Yeah, maybe we all go into it with, like, very weird, like, expectations with this. I don't really feel like I learned anything from Brady. And from somebody who is so cerebral and so good at this, I want you to explain to me what you see is different with Deshaun Watson than the quarterback that you went up against when you were playing. That I thought at least early on, Romo was really good at taking his on-the-field expertise and communicating to that to you on the screen. Now, he gets too excited sometimes, but like that's when I think Romo was at his absolute best. I'm going to teach you the game of football a little bit better. If Brady can tap into that, you were a great quarterback. Tell me what makes this quarterback special. Tell me why this quarterback is struggling. Explain situation to me. Explain what you would do in this scenario. Now, he also didn't get a great game in game one. It was a blowout. So I'm not here telling you Brady's good. I'm not telling you that Brady's terrible. I'm telling you it was a mixed review for week one, and let's see how Brady continues to grow. But we don't need 3 years of Brady to tell you if he's good at this media job or not. You usually can tell pretty early on. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.